How great is our God. Father, we come today and we acknowledge your greatness. We recognize your greatness. As we come today, it is our prayer that we might decrease and that you might increase. Save someone today, encourage another, and when this time is done, we'll give your name all of the praise and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord today. There's a word from the Lord that comes from the book of Malachi. That's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. When you found it, or when you see it, say amen.
Amen.
We'll begin at the 8th verse. It reads, "Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how are we robbing you in tithes and offerings? You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there would not be room enough to store it."
Amen.
I want to preach today from the sermonic title, God and Money, Part 2. God and Money, Part 2. If there's one of many things that the pandemic taught us, it was how to adjust. How to adapt, how to improvise, how to modify. We must not soon forget that not long ago, the sermons and the service were coming by way of the internet. And while that continues today, that was all we had. Couldn't leave the house really, and we had to kind of make it. And so we were able to hear from the Lord like so many other ministries. I had the basement ministry with the 75-inch television, an iPhone, and an amen corner with my family.
Amen.
One of the other adjustments that we had to make was how people gave. And no longer could you bring out the basket and pass it around, but persons were so electronically savvy that you were able to pay your tithe and offering by way of the internet. My, have we come a long ways.
Yes.
I remember back in the day of writing insurance, and I would say to someone, we could take that out of your account every month. And it was like, no, you won't. But now we give out our numbers for a little bit of everything, and I'll leave it there. In the midst of our going through the pandemic, I heard from one of our families, and they came on behalf of their son, a 10-year-old, who wanted to make sure that his tithe was being represented for the Harvest Church. I may have mentioned this some time ago, but he got an allowance of $10, and he wanted to make sure his tenth, his tithe of $1, was showing up on the Harvest account.
Amen.
We worked that thing out. And here's an update. That 10-year-old is now 11 years old.
Amen.
And he got a raise.
Yeah.
He's gone from $10 a week to $15 a week. And I got word from that family he wants to change his recurring to $1.50. Do you follow me this morning?
Yeah.
Won't a child lead us? But he had to have seen that somewhere. He learned at 10 what I learned in my mid-30s about what God can do with what he gives you. The government does not ask you if they can take your taxes out. They just take it. And if you owe them, they'll take it. If you buck, they'll go through your employer and get it. That's just a side note. But that blessed us so much that this young man understood and understands the importance of tithing at this early age. Let's recap for a moment on last time we talked about Paul and his writing to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. He said about this sense of sowing sparingly and reaping sparingly and sowing generously and reaping generously. And then one of the big points was you decide in your heart what the Lord would have you to give. No arm twisting, no guilt trip from this pastor, but however the Lord gives you, you know where you are. But that heart thing kind of stuck with me. Yeah. Whatever's in your heart. Yeah. And we were able to recap by saying that Paul, and as I saw it, saw giving as an investment, as a commitment, and as enjoyment. This morning, I want to go a little further and talk about God and money regarding the tithe and the offering. Malachi, an Old Testament prophet, one of the last of the prophets to write, he was writing to the church there in Israel, those who had come out of Babylonian captivity. And he was saying to them, now that you're in this promised place, let me remind you what God has told me to tell you. You're not handling your business. That you're doing things that are out of order, that there are many things that are showing up. You're falling into sin again. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. That's what amazes me about the Bible. God keeps forgiving us for the same thing over and over again and keeps showing his favor upon us. Yeah. And we keep messing up, but blessed be the God today. He continues to welcome us back. Has he ever done that for you? I mean, you may have a clean record. I don't. But thank God that he still loves me in spite of me. There were issues with their lifestyle and their giving. Malachi addresses the topic of the tithe. Tithe means 10%. A tenth, the requirement of the law. Israelites were to give 10% of their crops and livestock they raised to the tabernacle. And scholars have suggested that the Old Testament law required multiple tithes, one for the Levites, one for the use of the temple and the feast, and one for the poor of the land, total 23.3% tithing. Let me put a pin in this. Persons I've heard recently said, you've got to distinguish between the tithe. The tithe is a part of the Mosaic law. And so that was then, now there is grace. Good point. But the God that I serve is not a God who mixes up. He's still the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. If the Old Testament is not correct, is not to be followed, then what about the Ten Commandments? Does thou shalt not steal or kill still good? Just want to go there without calling names. Want to go back to my text. The New Testament writings do not designate a percentage of income a person should set aside. Some Christians have decided in their hearts, there's that heart thing again, to give 10% as a recommended minimum to the Lord. Okay, so we'll see how the failure to tithe was a concern. It was a command and connected to a challenge. Verse 8, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation, because you're robbing me. Did my research. In Maryland, if you are arrested and charged with theft that includes the use or threat of force, we're talking 15 years. Look at that. If you even attempt to rob somebody in Maryland, 15 years. And yet the people say, how are we robbing you? And the response is, in your tithe and offering. I'm out based on good behavior. I know what it means to stick up God. I know what it means to rob him because I've done it. Amen? Can I just confess it? That it took a while for me to get it. I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that God can make anything work in our lives. Let me just drop this quick testimony. God, I got a daughter starting college. And now I know I've been tithing, but listen, it's rough. That's one of three going to college. But don't you know God will provide? I wouldn't go hold back on him. It would have made, no, leave it alone. Leave it alone. It belongs to the Lord. It was me in my heart to heart that helped me. I became a tither. I've said to my children, no pressure. Let them decide in their heart. Thank you, 11-year-old. So verse 9 says, you're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. It really means because of the disobedience. God had judged them with a small harvest. Not only does God raise a concern about the tithe and the offering, he issues a command. Are you still with me? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. The storehouse is where grain was brought to the temple. It equates to the operation of the church. About a year ago, we got a storehouse. Welcome to the storehouse. Amen.
Amen.
But I think of what was written in Mark 12:41, where Jesus is sitting at the offering table at the treasury, and the big shots come in and drop some major money in the plate. And they gave from some of their wealth, but there was the widow who gave all she had, two small copper coins worth a few cents. And Jesus said, here is a teachable moment. They gave out of their wealth. She gave out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Dr. H.B. Charles down in Jacksonville, Florida, at the Shiloh Church. I've gone through his preacher's conferences a number of years. I like the way he put it. He said this widow had a trust account. In other words, she put her trust in God. Your 401k may be shaky, but how many people have a trust account to where you just trust God in every situation, and does he not come through for you? Amen. And then I thought about the widow woman with Elijah in 1 Kings 17, the widow at Zarephath. She had a trust account. Elijah comes by, God sent me. Can you go get me, please? There's a famine in the land, some water. And while you're at it, can you fix me a bread?
Yes.
Well, all I have is a little flour and some oil, and I'm about to go make a cake so me and my son can die. But can you make me one first? Because if you do, every time you put your hand in that jar, you're going to find flour.
Yeah.
Every time you go back for some oil, you're going to find it there. She, too, had a trust account. And every time she put her hand in the jar, every time you go back to your check and every time you say, Lord, I got God, every time you go back, has God not provided for you? I'm just talking about me. Amen. God issues a command. There's a concern, but finally there is a challenge. Verse 10, test me in this, or prove me, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God keeps his promise. God cannot lie. The NIV says floodgates. The King James says windows of heaven. Hebrew for floodgates is sluice. If you've ever driven across near the Conowingo Dam, you'll see those, that's a sluice gate. And every now and then, it makes the news because they open the gates. And so much water comes that it begins to flood the Susquehanna. I believe that God has a remote control in glory, that as you are obedient, as I am obedient, has he ever opened the gates on you? Oh, you don't feel it. I mean, showing up, you like, he just opened up the floodgates and poured you out a blessing. Well, Reverend, it wasn't in my check. He poured some peace out to me and poured some joy out to me. And I can lay down at night knowing that my God will supply all of my need. You won't see that floodgate the same. If you're going north to Cecil County for whatever reason, you're going up there. Y'all missed that. North or south, look over at the sluice gates. Amen. God is at the controls. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, he will take care of you. How many folk know that God will take care of you through every situation he has brought you through? Don't get me wrong now. It gets a little shaky every now and then, but when he says it, he means it. You might be down to your last, and then all of a sudden, something happens. And the God that we serve, we're not surprised, because he does it over and over again. He continues to take care of us. This ain't really about money as much as it is about faith. He don't need our money. My God, he don't need it. But God will supply. Let me end with this. 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. Jabez, more honorable than his brethren. So he must have done something right. He called on God that you might bless me and enlarge my coast, and that your hand might be with me, and that you might keep me from evil and harm. And God granted him his request. Yes. And so with your obedience, don't be afraid to ask God. God, oh, some of y'all have been screaming, Lord, you know what's due. Lord, you know what I'm facing, but I believe he keeps things running. Your car hadn't broke down lately. Your lights are still on. My God, you have food on the table. Don't tell me that God won't take care of you. Amen. And so as I close today, I just want to encourage you in the Lord that when it comes to having faith in God, my faith continues to grow. Amen. It's tight, but it's right, as my daddy would say. Anybody want to trust God today? I mean that this is a God that will take care of you. I still see him opening up the windows of heaven. He said that he'll pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. I feel like preaching today in the Holy Ghost. In other words, he will supply everything that you need. I've tried him. I know he'll do it. Right now, you might be tight, but don't you know that God will take care of you? Don't you know he took care of mama and took care of daddy, and they had next to nothing, but they still had food on the table. And don't you know that God took care of you when you went to college and you ain't have no money, and God took care of you. I know you got a loan, but God can take care of the loan too. Thank you, Mr. Biden, but I serve a God who will erase the debt anyhow. So don't be afraid and don't be fearful, because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. I feel like preaching today. I'm talking about what God will do, what God will do. You just trust him. What God will do, you lift up your eyes. What God will do, God, everything belongs to you. And so I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you through ups and downs. I'm going to trust you through pain, through disappointment. I will trust in the Lord. Try. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. In your heart. Come on, stand today. Yes. 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 Father.
Yes,
yes. Trusting you is kind of like this. You say, well, I heard it, but you know, it doesn't change.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying, but you know, don't you worry. Here's the truth of the matter. If I want to go around and interview every person in here, your history would show how God brought you through. Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
It would show that it didn't look good. You ever have a check bounce before? Insufficient funds? I just ran up and take my fist. You better back off, because I will trust in him. God gives us wisdom. Some of y'all don't have side hustles. Amen. Other income streams. He ain't say do nothing. But he will supply you with information to enlarge your coast. Father, we thank you today. And we glorify you.
Glorify your name, Lord.
We believe what we have read and what we have preached. Pray that it might land in good soil today. Father, we thank you that you have prepared a place for us. I believe in the streets that are paved with gold, and every day will be Sunday, and you'll supply everything we need. But in the here and now, we trust you. Maybe there's one today in this place who's never trusted you like that. I pray in the name of Jesus that you might increase our faith.
Yes,
our faith to believe that you died and you rose again. You are a God of miracles. Even today, a miracle. The word says that there's so many that there was not room enough. They all were not recorded. You are a miracle today. Father, if there's one today who knows not you, we pray in the name of Jesus, they may open their hearts today, and that you might flood them with that peace. Save their souls today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the name.
To God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen.